Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there. Tonight's episode of Ready to Unload with Cal and Sampete, number 169, is brought to you by No Fuss and Feathers Roadshow.
Don't we ever seem to learn what to say or to leave silent in the way? No one wants to leave. No one wants to leave. No one wants to live on. We think we'll roam. Oh, I am happy now. Oh, 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 I am happy.
No Fuss and Feathers Roadshow, an evening with Carol Ann Solabello, Karen Oliver, and the Yayas can be seen April 12th at 8 p.m. at Voices Cafe in Westport, Connecticut, and April 25th at 8 p.m. at Outpost in the Burbs in Montclair, New Jersey. If you live in either of those areas and are nearby, you should go check them out for an evening of fantastic folk music in the round. Okay, now on with Ready to Unload with Cal and Sampete.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're tonight's entertainment.
Let me explain. No, there is too much. Let me sum up.
Johnny and the Mothers are playing something at the Savoy in Vermont tonight.
Grandma's gonna kill my brother at the Savoy Theater tonight.
I didn't say that.
No, but I know this grapevine.
Why would I put it there?
Kindness?
Kindness? Kindness? You stole it! He stole it!
We have top men working on it right now.
Who?
Top men.
Anybody there? There is a problem. Oh, there's a problem. Blog Talk Radio says a problem. Blog Talk Radio. I love you, Blog Talk Radio. Bishop here, wishing he could fix the show. Let's see. What if I hit buttons? I wonder. Steven, are you there?
PJ, can you hear me? PJ, can you hear me?
I can hear Cal.
Okay, and I can hear PJ.
So let's do it, baby.
So it's the PJ and Cal show. How are you, PJ?
That's fine. Wait.
Cal?
Yay, the switchboard works. Hi, robot.
Now it's working, yeah.
All
so,
right.
PJ, how's it going?
I got scared from it. Going great, let me tell you. My house is clean. And my kids helped. Have you reached that state yet?
No.
Okay. It was amazing. I took the vacuum cleaner out and I said, listen, I'm going to clean and I need your help. And like for the first time ever, they didn't scatter.
Really?
Or give me an excuse. They were like, okay, tell us what you want us to do. So
wait a minute.
It was amazing.
And with no what's in it for us implications behind it?
Nothing. And I was amazed because, as you know, Frozen just came out on Blu-ray and DVD.
Yes.
I thought for sure I was going to be asked for that.
And nothing. They willingly helped you and then went about their life.
They were just being sweet kids. I couldn't believe it.
Wow. I guess.
And as a
I
result.
Guess, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can
as
see my
result,
carpet now.
Oh.
We found the floor over here at Bishop's house.
That's the punchline.
That is the punchline. So how's by you? What's going on?
By me? We have those moments, and you're right. I guess it's hard to explain why you have those. They're like pockets of, you don't see it coming. All of a sudden, they're good kids. But the problem is that it then sets an expectation level, so the next time you expect them to be good and they're not, it's crushing. It's crushing.
Yeah, it hurts. It hurts.
You know?
You keep looking at them going, when are you going to join us as
right.
humans?
and
not
and
these
from,
little consuming machines.
Well, and from what I hear, it only gets worse. Right?
Well, with adolescence, we're seeing some attitude now, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A little bit of attitude coming up. I'm becoming
and
dumber
whole,
and dumber.
A whole lot of crying, too.
There's a lot of crying. I don't know. I don't remember this much crying in my childhood. Maybe it's the kind of thing you forget, but I don't think I was a crier like this.
No, but like everything.
Yeah.
Everything. It's, you know, everything is the worst thing that's ever happened ever.
And another thing, as we wait for Steve to call in, Sam Pete, where are you?
No, he's there. He's working on it. He's doing his best to connect and
plug
not,
it into the thing, Steve.
Break something because he's not happy.
Oh boy!
How does this sound?
Now, well, there it is. He's there. See?
See, we did it, boys. We did it.
It just took some perseverance,
right.
But he got there.
Once again, another crystal smooth sailing. Easy entry into the podcast. Good job, everybody.
It was okay. We were riffing over here. It was fine.
I heard you guys vamping.
Yeah.
That was
just talking
vamping.
About the kids, having a coffee.
I did that. I know. It sounds like you guys are online at the A&P.
That's what we were doing.
Exactly.
I was waiting to hear, how's Emma's chicken pox? Oh, you know that one. Have you, so I don't know if the intro was heard at all.
The pre-recorded intro came across just fine.
Sure, thank you. No fuss and feathers roadshow.
Very nicely done, very well produced, slickly produced.
And then
the
full theme song was played, which made me think that something must be wrong, because you usually start halfway through
and
that. I was like, oh, wow.
And then it went into Stairway to Heaven.
You must be enjoying it.
Then he put on the song remains the same version of No Quarter.
Right.
Which is 27 minutes long.
You had Alice's Restaurant queued up, right? Just in case.
How many Yes songs can we play till I can figure out? Actually, it would just be two, basically. All you would need is two Yes songs.
That's all you need.
To figure out, and you know what the solution was, fellas?
What's that?
Unplug it and plug it back in.
No kidding.
That's it.
Sometimes.
You could work in IT.
That's it. Move. Anyway, this is, I'm going to do the intro, Hell or High Water. I don't give a damn.
Please.
Welcome to Ready to Unload with Cal and Stampede, episode number 169. Coming to you live.
We may have to trim the beginning of this.
Coming to you live from Comac, New York, Freehold, New Jersey, and Bayside, New York. It's the Ready to Unload radio program. It's March 20th, 2014. It's 10 p.m. It's Thursday night. It's 10 after 10. It remains time for Ready to Unload, talking New York sports nice. I'm one of your hosts, Steve Sampietro, the aforementioned Sampete. Here's my co-host, Cal.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Cal.
That's it. Let's bring in PJ.
Let's bring in PJ. Here he is, the bishop. Hi, Bishop.
How you doing? How you doing? Please meet you. How you doing?
Good to see you. Great.
Good to get right to it.
Okay. Ooh. Compressed.
All right.
Excellent. There's a ton of sports to talk about tonight, but I'm glad your house is clean.
This was a rare occurrence. This was an all hands thing that does not happen around here. So,
no, and I even said the punchline, and I couldn't get my mic to work, and that was when you guys were talking about PG was saying how you saw the rug or whatever.
Yeah.
And I even threw in the punchline without a working microphone. I said, I didn't even know we had rugs.
Right.
I had forgotten. It's been so long since. When did we get these gorgeous hardwood floors?
Right.
Right. Exactly. Hey, are you... Peej, I have an awesome idea for the fun load tonight. We're going to do a very, very regimented, segmented show tonight.
Starting now.
But before we actually do that, I do want to talk about this later, Peej. But are you watching Cosmos? I know you are.
Only the first one. I'm behind now.
Okay. Cal, did you watch Cosmos?
I'm behind. I have them all queued up.
There's been two so far? No spoilers. The Earth is 6 billion years old.
I think there's been two.
Right. No spoilers.
Well, now you're going to get callers because, you know, that's up for debate.
Right.
Have you seen them both, Steve?
I have watched 1.5.
Are they as great as everybody says they are?
They're pretty great.
Okay.
It's a pretty great thing. I'm surprised in several ways and on several levels. A, that it's on Fox. B, that it really, the first one really like flies directly in the face of certain things. Like almost on purpose. But I think the host Neil, I always get the Tyson and the DeGrasse wrong, which I always invert them, or flip them.
We'll say it.
Neil Tyson DeGrasse.
No.
No.
Neil DeGrasse Tyson.
Yeah. You
had,
overthought.
You had two choices.
I knew I was going to blew it.
Yeah.
And I blew it. Peej, what are your thoughts, please, on the first one?
Well, I love that guy. And he had me at Mirrored Spaceship. As soon as he got in the Mirrored Spaceship, I was like, that's it. I'm in.
The Mirrored Spaceship
animation
is pretty awesome.
The animation is terrific. The narration is terrific. The whole learning your cosmic neighborhood is great.
Really well presented. I had a bit of a problem with the Alan Silvestri score.
Oh, he's trying to make you feel it.
Yeah, he really. You know, you guys know how like a score is supposed to sneak up on you. Like
yes.
to me, a good movie score sneaks up on you. Like you don't even realize you're being moved by the music
until you then realize it. But
That's
at
right.
that point, it's already happened.
Yeah,
right.
This is like score set on 11. Like trying so hard, I am gonna move you.
Right.
Are you listening to how much I'm moving you right now? It also feels unbelievably like I'm watching Back to the Future 4.
It may be a touch too cinematic for what they're doing.
It
could have really dialed it back.
Yeah, I can't wait to get your take on this, Cal, because I don't think it's adding. I think it's actually taking away from it because I'm noticing it too much. And I don't like being manipulated emotionally by a score. I don't.
All right.
Really? Oh.
No, on purpose. Like, in other words, I don't want the music to reach out to me and be like, this is the time where you feel melancholy.
Right. This is
the part of the movie where if you're not crying, you are a piece of rock, you have no emotions, you should probably seek counseling.
Right.
I don't like that. Like, just, again, like, it should sneak up on you. It should be like you're watching this scene, and the score is underneath, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, man, I don't feel good about this. or I feel great about this.
I think it's a Fox thing.
Like Ghostbusters.
Like Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters had a score?
Of course.
I thought it was just
the one
song.
There you go. No, I'm not talking about the song.
Setting it was just the one song that went on and on and on and on.
Saving the Day is in there too, Peach.
Saving the Day. Saving the Day.
Come on now. Right? You're hearing it, right?
Yeah.
Again. Sneaky. You've seen that movie 100 times, never noticed the score. But it's there.
Interesting.
Anyway, that's my take on Cosmos.
I can't wait to see it.
It is really good.
I tell you, I'm not going to be watching a lot of sports in the near future, so I'll catch up on Cosmos.
No, sir.
Yeah.
Well what do you... now that they confirmed the Big Bang also, I mean, they may add a new chapter.
The Big Bang Theory, the TV show, they've confirmed that that's a TV show?
No.
No, that show has confirmed that the Big Bang exists. They just did it in comedic form.
Has anybody watched How I Met Your Mother? How I Married Your Mother? How I Met Your Married Mother? What's the name of that show?
Neil Tyson deGrasse.
That's correct.
Right.
Neil deGrasse.
Married Tyson. Your Mother.
How I Married Neil Tyson deGrasse.
His mother.
Neil Patrick Harris is
deGrasse
in a spaceship meeting your mother, and there's a big bang when they meet. Wait a minute.
That's I would watch that show. How do we green light that one? I would watch that show.
That's a summer replacement show.
That's definitely a summer replacement.
That airs right after Big Brother.
Correct. Big Brother 17, 18? What are they on now?
Big Brother, Little Sister.
You know the guy who won the first Big Brother was from Comac, Gal.
Eddie McGee.
Yep.
The one-legged Eddie McGee.
Correct. Yes, I know him, actually.
Well, we all know him from Comac.
No, I didn't know him in Comac.
Oh, okay.
I met him in Los Angeles.
Oh, after Big Brother.
Correct.
Yeah, he moved out to L.A.
He was very good friends with a mutual friend. We had a mutual friend, is a better way of saying that, usually, in America. And a friend of mine had written a pilot, and he wrote a part for Eddie.
Oh, wow.
And so we did a read of it a couple of times and stuff. Met him, he's a nice guy. Didn't really care that I was from Comac.
No, huh?
You would have thought that would have been like we hit it off and...
Would have been a good icebreaker.
Yeah, he won Big Brother. He was a little bigger brother. He was really feeling his oats.
But you know what? I mean, a couple of years later, I bet you Comac goes a little higher on the resume than Big Brother.
Well, now that there's been 38 winners of Big Brother, it's not so unique.
That's right. Yeah.
Tell us about yourself. Well, I'm from the lovely town of Comac. And I was also on a little show called Big Brother.
Right, that's like 20 minutes into the interview.
Right.
I also
right.
won Big Brother season right. one. I don't really talk about it much.
Exactly.
I am from Comac. There's a Motor Inn and a White Castle.
It's a good town.
It's a great town. All right, we're gonna let's go talk about sports because we're going to bring you back for – I have a proposal from the fun load, and I would like to do a fun loadette.
What are we doing? Are we having a board meeting about this?
Everybody in the conference room. Stat.
I don't like PowerPoint, so you better
now.
Be ready.
Now. There's an 80-pound gorilla in the room. Everybody in the conference room. Stat.
Is it a fun loadette or a fun load-let?
I think we need – the bishop ruling on this.
Well, I think we have previously agreed that it's a loadlet, not a loadette. That's like the girlfriend in the varsity jacket.
Loadette.
Yeah. Hey, meet Deborah. She's my loadette.
Oh, I thought that was her name. Like, hey, look, it's Loadette Di Sarcina.
In my In my varsity jacket.
What'd she do with my jacket?
What'd she do to my varsity jacket? Hey, Lodette.
You know what this means? We got to get matching jackets now.
That's right. RTU jackets coming.
I don't care what they cost. We got to get them now.
And they all have the name Lodette. the script name Lodette. I'll tell you what, if we get bowling shirts, I know what I'm getting on mine. We'll be fighting over who gets to be Lodette.
Did you see Lodette in the cafeteria? Maron with the thing.
She's wearing my letters. It's not right.
Oh,
she didn't
God.
Pole vault. She's not
Lodette.
All. She's not all state in the shot put.
Lodette, you know that belongs to me. Lodette,
why don't you come here and get it? Because you know, Lodette's got a ton of attitude.
Right, you're not chewing enough gum to say that.
Right.
All right, whatever, Vinny. Come over here and get it, all right?
Yeah.
Jeez,
no
Lodette,
doubt
come
that,
on.
That, so that if there's a Lodette, she's sassy.
She's sassy, and her hair is 1989 high.
Yeah.
Like, still.
I like this girl.
I think I'm starting to like Lodette. Yeah, whatever, Steve. Come and get your jacket.
Oh, jeez.
Pause attraction. She sounds remarkably like Marissa Tomei and My Cousin Vinny.
Obviously.
Which everybody knows is pause attraction. If you've ever been stuck in the mud in Alabama. I have a friend at work, this girl, Erica, who does that entire thing perfectly. Like, perfectly. The entire testimony, the Marissa Tomei testimony on the stand, she does it absolutely perfectly. This little Jewish girl from Long Island. And she kills it. Absolutely kills it.
That's a good one to have in the repertoire.
And she, it was out of, have you ever had that? Like, somebody you don't expect to, A, have the pop culture reference, and B, to do it perfectly. I mean, perfect. She's an attorney. Like, it was just out of nowhere.
I've never experienced that.
And she did the whole monologue. She says the whole monologue. Which, of course, is pause attraction. I was like, who are you? She was like channeling Marissa Tomei. The one line we've been using from that movie a lot lately. By the way, My Cousin Vinny holds up well. Does.
When did you last see it?
About 3 weeks, maybe a month ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Popped it on. I think it was on like HBO or something, so it was the full movie. Mm-hmm. And we just, for some reason, when he's holding up the fingers for the woman to see in the courtroom to test her vision, and he does the Mrs. Yeah. Jenkins, and only Mrs. Jenkins. We've been doing that a lot in the office. Because, like, you'll ask a question and somebody will just, like, blurt out the answer that is not the person you asked the question of. And I'll be
right.
Like, Errol. And only Errol. It's pretty good. All right. Let's talk sports.
All right.
Peach, we'll be back momentarily.
All right.
All right. Well, here's one of our places. Time for the big unload.
I'm so touched that you used my soundbite.
I'm not giving these guys a dime. I'm going to cut this music off. They got enough of my money in 1996, all right?
Time for the big unload. I love that somebody here is bitter about a CD he may have bought in 1996 and several concerts he may have attended.
I think I went to 3 that year.
Wow. Anyway, it's a perfect song. I've been waiting. Peach, you just said that you were ecstatic that I used your soundbite. I've been waiting all day to use that for the big unload because it perfectly encapsulates how fan bases of our teams are feeling right now. So here's how I want to do the show tonight, Cal. Here's what I'm thinking about. Because you and I have been talking about a ton of stuff all week, and there's a lot to unpackage here. So I want to do it in an orderly fashion.
Okay.
There, we have to talk about the Jets and free agency and what the beat writers are writing that's current, that's up to date, that's now, that's happening, that's hip. We have to talk about who the Giants signed and, you know, Rodgers Cromartie and how much money they're spending. And clearly Jerry Reese, to me, has an edict that he needs to win and do something. He's playing the win now game. Small window with Eli, small window with Coughlin. He's trying to make this team a Super Bowl team in one shot. Well, I think we just covered that then. And then of course
next,
and then of course there's the Mets, and what's going on with the Metropolitans. You, at a level of frustration usually reserved for the second week of August, now 11 days before the season, and the A word creeped in.
Mm-hmm. And it's not awesome.
It's also not alchemy.
Artichoke.
It's none of these. So we need to talk about that. And then, but I want to start, before we get to the Frustrated Incorporated, I want to start on a positive note, if I may, if I may be allowed to.
Well, it's a little, it will be selfishly positive, I think, but I think we can all share in it, right?
I would like us to.
I don't, there's no reason we can't.
And I'll tell you why.
I'm dying to hear it.
You and I have experienced, and this is not a woe is me situation. These are the facts. We've experienced so much abject misery with the teams that we root for, especially lately. There's the day that Matt Harvey died, the day that the 2014 Mets season died, same day. There's the John Tavares injury in the Olympics. There's the general play of our teams. Like, all this stuff, Cal, is really rough. It's been rough with the Mets and the Jets and the Islanders. And it's been really rough.
You could even throw the Knicks in there.
You can absolutely throw it. We should talk about Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
It's been very, very rough. So today started March Madness. Now, you and I, this is our fifth March Madness while we're doing this show.
Boy.
And a couple of the early years, we had a great buddy of mine who was sort of an NCAA expert, big-time expert. We had him on the show. He used to do a great job for us first couple of NCAAs. We haven't really talked about it much in the last few years as it's been going on. But this year is a little different for me. And this happened, what, 3 years ago Dayton was in? Or 4 years ago?
I don't remember. Maybe three.
But my alma mater, which is the University of Dayton, which is a small school, you know, in the A-10, a mid-major, you know, good basketball program, but, you know, decent. But when they make the tournament, it's a big deal. They don't make the tournament every year. They're not a perennial powerhouse in basketball. And I follow them, and it's been great with them in the A-10. I get to watch them on TV, you know, four or five times a year because they're on MSG. So I'm familiar with the team. I'm obviously a proud alumnus from the University of Dayton. So the tournament was kind of special. The tournament kicked off today. It's an interesting field. You have an undefeated team that nobody thinks is very good, Wichita,
mm-hmm.
Wichita State, whatever. We're not going to go knee-deep into the NCAA tournament. I got some joy from sports today. It had been a while. As the Dayton Flyers upset, it's a mild upset. They were only 6-point dogs.
No, but they were an 11 seed.
But they were an 11 seed, absolutely. It was a seeding upset. It wasn't, you know, they weren't like 17-12 and won their conference tournament and got, they got an at-large bid, and they are a good team. But it's an upset. They beat a Big Ten team in Ohio State, which is just glorious. I mean, that would be like the Johnnies beating Syracuse, Cal, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
It's a huge, it's great. You know, Dayton has a couple of natural rivals. Xavier is one of them.
Ohio State has to be one of them, right?
It is, but it's not as big as Xavier because Xavier was in the same conference for the longest time.
Oh, right.
Used to be Cincy because they were in the same conference as Cincinnati. And you know, Dayton is only 40 minutes away from Cincinnati, very close to Xavier as well. But obviously, there's there's a chip on our shoulder, us UD Flyers, about Ohio State. Ohio State's the big school, and you know, with 100,000 undergrad or whatever the hell it is. And, you know, Dayton has about 9, 10,000 students. It's a Catholic university. You know, it's a private school. It's been around for 160 years. You know, it's not like it's it had a very rich basketball tradition in the 50s and the 60s, including making a couple of Final Eights, making a Final Four, winning a bunch of, you know, a couple of NITs. Won the NIT a couple of years ago in 2011. So it's not, you know, it's they're not Gonzaga 15 years ago or 10 years ago.
Well, they're legitimate.
They are a legitimate
on a small scale.
That's right. They're a legitimate mid-major program. But they beat Ohio State today in thrilling fashion. And it was the first game of the tournament.
Yeah.
So everybody was watching. So Twitter was sort of abuzz with Dayton stuff. And it was really cool. That's my school.
Yeah.
So I wanted to share. We're so negative. And it's we're not trying to be. But everything in our particular sports spectrum has been so negative for a while. I wanted to share some of the nice.
That is nice.
It was really great. It was, I really thought that the last shot by the Ohio State kid was going to go. I couldn't believe he got it off in the first place. He got mugged. And then it almost went. I mean, it came really close to going. But V. Sanford hits the shot for Dayton with about 3.7 seconds left. And great shot. Banks open late. Goes high off the glass. And it was really a nice day, sports-wise. For a change.
That is nice.
And now they play Cuse.
It'll be a good game.
Cuse is in the house. I think they can play with Syracuse. I really do, Cal.
Well, you know, Syracuse is not the same Syracuse that they were for the first 4 months of the year. Down the stretch, they really struggled. So, nope. I don't know. I don't follow it enough to know if they've righted the ship in time. I would imagine that Jim Boeheim's got them focused now that they're in the tournament.
Yeah.
But they, you know, when you get an upset like this, I think there's a lot of momentum behind it. And I think that Dayton will take that momentum into the game and make it a much more competitive game than it might have been normally.
Yeah, and I think the Dayton's UD's team is very young, really good coach, really good young coach. He's only like 37. Archie Miller took over 3 years ago, had been under Lute Olson at Arizona. He had taken over the program from Brian Gregory, who did a really nice job. Brian Gregory was there for 8 or 9 years. I think he made two tournaments, you know, made the tournament 2 or 3 times. He had come from Michigan State under Tom Izzo. So Archie Miller's done a really nice job recruiting. There's some really good kids there. They're young. They're athletic. They can shoot a little bit. They get solid point guard play, which is something that Dayton has always lacked in big tournaments. Their point guard play is always very erratic. They can play, and they are athletic. And, of course, they have their obligatory 6'8" white kid from Ohio, which is great. So anyway, that was fun to watch. Okay, we can move on to the ridiculousness now. I just wanted to enjoy my one sports moment.
That's fine. Yeah, my
can we play? Can somebody cue up one shining moment, please? Can we get one shining moment going? One moment in time.
Two different songs.
That's a different song, isn't it?
Two different. Yeah.
What's that song?
That's Whitney Houston. One Moment in Time. Whitney Houston.
Where does this magic moment fit in?
The
Supremes? Four tops. Seven
no.
tops.
This ma- no.
This magic moment.
I.
When your I lips... That's like a love song, though. That's not a sports song.
No.
It's The Drifters featuring
the Drifters.
Benny King.
Who said that?
Nice
drop in, Peach.
You're welcome.
Is this God? that was magnificent. Speaking of which, did I tell you what I did to Wesley? I'll tell you another time. Did I tell you what I did with the camera?
No.
The baby monitor camera. I took it. I was when I had the kids by myself, I put Casey's camera in the living room where Wesley was so I could watch him while I was putting Casey to sleep, and I had the monitor. Well, the monitor features a talk button, so you can talk through the camera.
So you could talk to him through the camera.
Right, that's right. So you could. The idea is you're soothing the baby without having to go in the room, which is, we've never used, never worked.
Okay.
This is the first usage of it was I'm in Casey's room putting him to sleep, and Wesley's in the living room, which is, you know, we're talking about a separation of about 6 feet.
Oh, still.
Yeah, a hallway, basically. But I can see what he's doing.
Right.
And he stays. So he doesn't know. I put the camera there. He didn't see me do it.
What are you setting up a punked?
So he stands up. He's watching, like, Dora. And he stands up on the couch and is jumping. Because my son cannot sit still for 3 seconds. Like, he watches TV standing up. He's moving around. He's got a leg. Like, he just does not. He's got. My grandmother used to say he's got famigulas. I don't know what those are, but he just never stops moving. Right? So as he's watching Dory, he's all into it. A song comes on. He's dancing. He stands up on the couch, and he's jumping up and down on the couch. So I hit the talk button. And so he hears from nowhere, Wesley, stop jumping on that couch now. He stopped. The poor kid stopped in his tracks and was like, What is going on here? And he, like, sat down immediately and just was, like, looking around like, oh, man, they got this place wired. Dad's omnipotent.
If you don't send that into some sort of Dave Coulier show,
it was
on hidden videos.
It was great. Then, like, you know, 20 minutes later, he was, like, standing on a table or sitting or laying down on, like, a table or something like that, again, while watching TV. Because he's, like, not paying attention. And I'm like, Wesley, get off the table. And now he's, like, hip to it. Now he's, like...
No, he's going to keep doing it. So
no, no. Now he gives, like, the wave. Like, all right, you got me. Okay. Oh. The first time, I just scared the crap out of him. The second time, he's like, all right, whatever, old man. So, anyway, sorry.
You never let me have any fun.
I know. Yeah, he's three. He's already doing the... I can't even do anything! Sorry, Dad. I can't do anything. Okay, so which do you want to go for first?
I really don't could care less. Whatever you want to do.
So that's... You could care less?
I couldn't care less.
I mean, could you care a little?
I care. I care enough to be here right now doing this.
Well, great.
And that's where my level of caring stops.
Is that
sports right now?
Is that supposed to make me feel better?
It should.
Do you have a problem with... We've been talking about this a ton, so let me just... But I'm not sure I know your actual answer right now. Do you have a problem with John Itzik's approach right now to free agency for the Jets?
No.
Go on.
No, I don't have a problem with it. It's a little frustrating.
Why is it frustrating?
I think what's frustrating is the reaction to it. If I had to think about it.
Excellent. Exactly.
I don't think his approach is frustrating. It's a little frustrating to see so many guys sign elsewhere.
Is that going to be needle dropped every time we say?
Oh, that's so perfect.
It's really good.
It's so perfect.
I think that is the more alarming thing right now.
Well, that's what it is, because this is what we, you know, look, I'm happy with the fact that we don't know what he's doing. Really behind this, we don't know what his plan is.
Yeah, I don't know
who his targets are. I'm fine with that. In fact, I find it refreshing from the way that it's been around here for the last 5 years or whatever. It's good.
Totally agree.
You know, but maybe not frustrating is maybe not the right word. Can you find a Soul Asylum song that talks about being envious of something? Or jealous? Hey, jealousy, get the Gym Blossoms up. Because that's what it is.
I like how you got there.
Right?
I was just going to let you do it.
And wait.
I knew you'd get there.
Well, you know, wait till I bring the Spin Doctors into this, and then we'll have the whole trilogy of...
Don't you dare.
...of mid-90s alt-rock.
Yeah.
No, my point is I see all of these players signing in other places, and we the Jets still do have holes. I wish we would sign somebody. But ultimately, I'm fine with what he's doing. And our good buddy over at Turn on the Jets, Joe Caparoso, and he's been leading the charge of preaching patience and kind of buying into this plan. And it's funny because it's almost like if you read Joe's tweets, every day he has to remind you what day it is.
Right.
He reminds you it's today. It's March 20th. Free agency just started 9 days ago.
Right. They don't have a game. They don't have a game for 6 months.
Season doesn't start for 6 months. And he's absolutely right. And that's really how I do feel about John Idzik and the Jets. So I'm okay with what he's doing, but the reaction to it is just, I can't take much more of it.
I think that's, yeah, I definitely agree, Bri. I think that's been one of the more sort of disappointing things about all of this free agency is that like our fan bases, our shared fan bases just continue to like let us down or at least at the very least overreact. Now there's a thing called Jets Twitter. We've talked forever about Mets Twitter. These are things now. These are like entities that exist that are parts of a fan base. That's our fan base that just overreact one way or the other, either end of the polar spectrum, to everything that goes on, every little nugget, and now you have actual beat writers responding to that in kind.
Right.
So in other words, Manish Mehta of the Daily News, New York Daily News, our boy Manish, is basically taking Jets Twitter, quote-unquote, reaction and making that the story and amplifying it.
Right.
And which is what he did this week, and basically got made fun of by his own colleagues. So, you know, that's twice in 1 week that Manish took a beating from his own colleagues. I mean, when Rich Cimini is the voice of reason, like things have really gotten out of hand. Rich Cimini hasn't enjoyed a day on the beat covering the Jets in the 17 years he's been covering them. And he had to be like, everybody just calm down. Even though what they're doing is wrong, which I love that Rich gets that in there.
Right.
I don't agree with it, but yeah, it's still early. But can we just talk about, or I want to ask you about the on the field, this team, the way it's constructed, with Michael Vick coming in for a visit tomorrow. And I know you and I have both been on, we've both been talking about how we want no part of Michael Vick. As backup for the Jets. You heard Idzik today. I don't know if you heard him. He and Rex had a phone press conference.
I saw highlights of it.
Which is great. Again, they gave exclusive interviews to Eric Allen from Jets.com and no one else.
That's great.
I love it. I mean, talk about controlling the message. And also talking about like a big FU to the papers and stuff. But Cal, he talked about Michael Vick and bringing in Michael Vick because he has familiarity with Marty Morningway. So fine. I don't want him here. I think he fails as a backup for one simple reason. He's fragile. I mean, if he's coming in here to compete for a starting job.
Is he?
Legitimately compete, I don't know.
We don't know that.
But if he's coming to legitimately compete for a starting job, that's one thing. If he's coming to have a shot at the starting job and have to unseat Geno and likely going to be a backup, he's an awful backup because he's fragile. The last thing you want is for Geno Smith to go down in a game and then Michael Vick gets into the game and breaks his leg. And now you're, you know, or sprains his hamstring or whatever he does. And now you've got Michael Vick lost for 3 weeks. You've got Geno Smith lost for 3 weeks. And it's the Matt Sims era.
Well, the only thing I would say about that is that if he's a backup, you're mitigating the amount of time he's on the field. You know?
I'm just saying, in my opinion, you want your backup quarterback to be sturdy.
No, I understand that.
I mean, that's one of the immediate qualifications for the backup quarterback, right? Like, you want the backup quarterback to be sturdy.
Right.
Because if your starter goes down, you don't want the backup getting hurt. You know, right. The other thing, I mean, the turnovers you can talk about. I don't understand this idea of mentoring. I mean, why does he got to be a mentor? Why does he have to mentor Geno Smith? Just show up at practice, be a good guy. That's fine. But he's got to take him under his wing? What the hell do we have a quarterback coach for?
Well, I buy a little bit of that.
He's got to set a good example by being a good practice player or something like that. That's fine. Any player should be that. You should expect that out of any player. But this right. idea that he's going to take Geno under his wing, why? A, why should he? And B, why should he have to?
But where is this idea coming from?
I see it everywhere. Oh, he
where?
Would be...
No, seriously. This I want to talk about this. Where are you getting this?
I've seen legitimate beat reporters say it.
Okay.
What kind of influence he's going to be on Geno Smith, and is he going to take him under his wing, and is he going to be a good mentor? And
right.
You know, because they talk about Mark Brunell all the time.
Right.
With Sanchez.
Well, the thing, and we just got finished talking about this, is the fact that Idzik is controlling the message, right?
Yeah.
We don't know why he's doing what he's doing or what his plan is, and he could be bringing Michael Vick in for a million other reasons than to be a mentor to Geno Smith. That is all being manufactured by the media, and you're right. It's by legitimate media, and it's by the guys in the media that we actually trust and respect.
Right.
But the bottom line is, it's still speculation because we're not getting anything out of them.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why.
No, you're right.
I take that information with a little bit of grain of salt.
Cal, they could be bringing in Michael Vick to put a scare into Mark Sanchez. Because Mark Sanchez is out of options. The quarterback market is drying up. The Jets have yet to release him. He's not going to make it past Monday the 25th. They're not going to pay him $2 million to be on the roster.
Right.
The Jets are weighing their options. I understand why they haven't cut him yet, but the jobs are going. I mean, the Texans signed Ryan Fitzpatrick today.
And the Raiders, I think, are going to trade for Schaub.
And the Raiders are trying to trade for Matt Schaub. So the market's drying up. And maybe they're bringing Michael Vick in to put a scare into Mark Sanchez to say, hey, look, Mark, you better restructure. Okay, or we're going to release you. We're going to sign Vick. We're going to release you, and you're not going to have a job. So you might as well restructure and stay here.
So
I mean, it's entirely possible.
So in that scenario, then Michael Vick doesn't have a job.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking.
But also... And the argument has been made. You and I have discussed this. Who's a better backup for this team? Mark Sanchez or Michael Vick?
Yeah, Mark Sanchez is a better backup for this team.
In a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
He is.
He's a better backup. He is.
He's younger. He had an arm issue last year. Before that, he was remarkably durable. He knows the offense. He's got a year in it.
You know, the thing that always strikes me about Mark Sanchez, and I know I'm not going to go as far as apologizing for him, but on the same token, I know that people can't stand him and want him gone as soon as possible. The one thing that sticks out with me with Mark Sanchez from last year is that after that surgery, he was there at every game.
Yep.
And he was involved in every discussion that we saw on the sideline with Geno Smith. And he did all of the right things. And for a kid that we labeled as immature and not really getting it for his first 4 years here, last year I was impressed.
Yeah.
By what I saw.
Maybe he grew up a little bit with not – I mean, he said as much, but it sounded like sort of athlete speak, but maybe he grew up a little bit having the game taken away from him.
Maybe.
For the first time in his life, he can't play.
And then somebody else went out there and had a little bit of success.
Yeah. Okay, a couple more minutes on the Jets, and then I want to move on. Do you think that right now, as they're constituted, Rex said today, it's going to be really hard to unseat Geno Smith. Do you think they believe that?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I think they like what they saw out of him in the last three games of the season.
Okay.
And look, he did himself a lot of good by the way he played those last three games.
After the benching, right.
Yeah, because what he did was he pulled himself up. He didn't sulk. He didn't spiral out of control. He took that message,
yeah,
and he came back. And look, he wasn't a Pro Bowl quarterback by any stretch of the imagination, but for a rookie quarterback that had a rough year, he ended the season on a positive note. And that's momentum that I think the management of the Jets feels they could build on.
Don't you think that Michael Vick would ruin some of that momentum?
I don't know.
Just because he wants to start?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, if Mark Sanchez stays here, is he in a legitimate competition with Geno, or does he have to play lights out to unseat Geno?
I think he would have to play lights out to unseat Geno.
Right.
You know, I think Michael Vick would have to play lights out to unseat
Geno. See, I don't think he would.
Yeah, I think he would.
I think if they're even...
They're going to give it to Vic?
Yeah.
No.
If they're even, Sanchez and Smith are even, or deemed as even, I think they give it to Geno.
I think they really want Geno to be the quarterback here. And they're going to give him every chance
to
be the quarterback. I don't know. I've softened a little bit on Vic. Here's the one thing about Michael Vick that you can say.
I have too, weirdly.
Yeah. I guess, and maybe it's, you know, the old, someone tells you not to do something enough, you're going to want to do it.
It's also becoming more and more of a probability, or the probability is going way up. It's almost becoming an inevitability, and you're like, I better start justifying this now.
Right, talk yourself into
Let me start my rationalization process now.
It's true.
And just head it off at the pass, because I felt myself saying it this morning.
Yeah.
Like they were talking about him on Boomer and Carton or whatever, and I found myself saying it this morning. I'm like, you know what? I said like 2 months ago that Vic would be the ideal backup. Why? What changed?
But here's the problem, and this will kind of tie this segment up into a nice little bow to where we started.
All right, sir.
3 years ago.
Sure.
Okay, and let's just take where we are now, but bring the management of 3 years ago into it. So now you're talking, this is Woody and Tannenbaum and Rex just completely running the show. And they brought Michael Vick in this year.
Okay.
It's for one reason and one reason only, and that's just to further the circus atmosphere.
Right.
John Idzik's not bringing Michael Vick in here for a story.
No.
Or for publicity. He's bringing him in here because he believes he's the best guy to come in and back up or compete with Geno Smith. And the problem is that the minute they sign Vic, they're going to put the picture of Bozo the Clown on the back page. The circus is back in town, and they're going to, you know, it'll probably be a dog in a Bozo wig.
Right.
Is what they'll use.
The Post will, yeah.
The Post will. But that's where we are when you talk about being frustrated with sports and the reaction to things from our fan base and from the media. That's what's going to happen when they sign Michael Vick. And I'm not looking forward to it. But that's what frustrates me.
But that's a great – you just made a really good point. It's – they can do that all they want. It's just not true anymore.
Right.
John Idzik, as GM of the Jets, is not bringing any football player in here for any other reason than can he play football. It's not to sell tickets. It's about building and improving the team. That's it.
Right.
Like there's no more of that, Jack. You know, that ridiculousness. There's no more of that ridiculous, you know, bringing in a Tebow or tickets or whatever. It's none of, it's all gone.
There isn't, but everybody desperately wants there still to be.
I'm not saying you're wrong that that won't be the back page of the Post. It will be. It'll be the back page of the Paste as well. Just making sure that's out there. I haven't read the Paste in years.
Very liberal.
It definitely will. But I think it's starting to carry so much less weight. These beat guys are out of their minds frustrated.
Yeah. They're completely frozen out.
And then they drop the story with Christian Dyer, and they give Christian Dyer the great – it was almost – you know, that was – it was like – I was thinking like Kaiser Sose. You know, like when Chaz Palminteri is like, that was your reward, Verbal. That's why he let you live. That was the thing for – like Christian Dyer was like given a gift.
Yep.
Because he has been a good, snark-free beat guy. And so he got a team, you know, a high-level team executive. That's not a person familiar with the thinking of Rex Ryan's cousin.
Right.
Sally Ann Kavanaugh.
But it just amazes me how they can run that out there as a legitimate source and stand by it and defend it. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's. I honestly, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. Like that aspect of it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous to me. They haven't signed a cornerback, and the Giants didn't. Now, did you see Rogers Cromartie's deal?
Yeah, he got. I mean, it was 5 years, $35 million, and then it was $12-15 million guaranteed.
But they're on the hook like for 4 years there.
Really?
Yeah. It's a I can't remember who it was, but maybe it was CeeLo. Maybe it was LaPresti. Said something like, I just got to look at the specifics of DRC's contract, and now I'm really sure why the Jets passed.
Well, the Jets made him an offer, but they kind of made him like a one-year, $5 million
offer,
right?
They made him the same offer he got from the Broncos last year.
Okay.
They made him a one-year show-me offer, $6 million.
That's fair.
And it's the same deal he got from the Broncos last year, and he had his best year ever on a one-year contract when he didn't have any sort of financial security, and the Giants just gave him a lot of financial security. I hope it works out for the Giants. They are making – but you know, Itzik made the offer and then got on a plane and went down to Louisville to watch Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
Or he went down to Florida, I should say.
Yeah.
To watch Teddy Bridgewater. Like, he slid the piece of paper across the table. Right? Gave it to the agent. I'm thinking of a number. Slides it across the table. Now, he doesn't just wait on the other side of the desk. He gets up and walks out of the room. And gets on a flight.
Well, now, to Cromartie's or Rogers Cromartie's credit, I'd be taken aback by that also and be like, oh, I guess he doesn't really want me.
It does not bother me in the least. No, in fairness to him, okay. I think he was trying to get more money out of the Jets and get a guaranteed deal like he got out of the Giants with the Jets. And then he went over to the Giants facility and they were like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
The Giants are spending, you know, the contracts are reasonable. I like what they're doing, but it's so clear what they're doing.
Right.
I mean, it's so clear that Jerry Reese has a 3 to 4 year window with Eli Manning, where Eli Manning is still, you know, a top quarterback, top 10, whatever you want to call Eli Manning, top 8 quarterback.
Is he elite?
Whatever. Sure. Fine.
No, you have to. You have to talk about that.
Oh, my bad.
Right? Is Eli elite?
But he's no. But he's
rhetorical.
He's elite. He's Eli.
It's because his name. You know, it's because his name is in the word elite. You know that.
I did know that.
Did you see that? That's why that came.
They did not sneak that past me.
All right.
But you got 3 to 4 years left with him. Coughlin is an old man. You got like a year left with him. They went 7-9 last year. They're loading up. or 6 and 10? 6 and 10? 7 and 9?
6 and 10.
6 and 10. They're loading up to be good again quickly. It's a very un-Reesean move here. You see, when Jerry Reese took over, he was still beneficiary of Ernie Accorsi drafts, but also they didn't do much in free agency his first year, and he built through the draft. Sound familiar? He didn't get killed for it. And that year they won a Super Bowl. You know, with draft picks of his, you know, contributing greatly. So I think the Giants are executing their plan, but Jerry Reese to me is acting like a guy who needs to win. I don't think his job's in jeopardy necessarily, but I think he needs to show it. He hasn't made the playoffs 4 out of 6 years. Now, those other 2 years, they won the Super Bowl. Right? Is that it? Or four out of the last six? Or 4 out of the last 5?
Well, you go back to when they won the Super Bowl in 2008.
2007, 2008, right.
Right, and then they won it again in...
2011.
11, 12.
No, 10, 11.
10, 11, right. But that's it. They didn't make the playoffs in any other year.
Right. Right.
So it's been Super Bowl.
They made the playoffs the next year when Plaxico shot himself in the leg. In 2008-9, they made the playoffs. Remember, and they lost. They were like the 2 seed, and they lost in the first round to the Eagles.
Did they?
Yes. Remember, they were like 10-1.
Oh, I know. I do remember that. I thought that they might have spiraled out of control
in the
playoffs.
They were like 10-1 when Plaxico shot himself in the leg.
Right. I do remember that.
And so they made the playoffs that year. And again, they were like a 1 or a 2 seed. They're really high seeded. They lost at home.
Right.
Anyway, it's a number of years out of the playoffs as well. You know, of course, the shine of those Super Bowl rings, pretty shiny.
Always will be.
Yeah. But Itzik is executing. If you want to say that maybe they wanted to be in on Vontae Davis and that surprised them that they never got a chance to be in on him, okay.
You got a lot of money, though.
You got $10 million a year.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Nothing seems like it's a surprise to me. Maybe what cornerbacks went for, or maybe they missed on Verner, but Verner never even visited. He never even got to them.
No.
He went to Tampa Bay, signed a $6 million deal, and that was that. So, and, you know, the other thing is, Brad, they love Walls.
Yeah. Well, they love
Langster. They love Walls. They like what they have. I think they're still going to add another cornerback. I just don't think it's going to be one of these, you know, number one, quote-unquote, shutdown guys. They're going to add more depth at the position. I'm almost positive they're going to add a veteran. And then that'll be fine. We said it a couple weeks ago. They're building from the front out.
Right.
On that defense. It's entirely different than it was 5 years ago when they built from the back end in. So we'll see. Okay, the Mets, really quick. You're disgusted.
Not even anymore.
You're the A word, aren't you?
I'm the a-hole.
No, I didn't say, no, I did not say that.
I'm just so tired of everything with them. I really am.
So today they batted Zach Wheeler 8th.
Yeah. Yeah.
Juan Lagares 9th in a exhibition game.
Well, they're trying it out. They're trying it out. That's good.
What are your feelings on that?
Like he's got nothing better to do?
Is this a classic case, though, of it's an awful idea because it's the Mets?
No.
Like if Tony La Russa does this, which even in an exhibition game, Tony La Russa does this, nobody bats an eye.
Look, my whole feeling on the pitcher batting 8th is I think it's ridiculous.
Overall. No matter
like,
who does.
Like when La Russa was doing it, it was like, come on. Here he is. He's reinventing the game. Let's do this now because I think it's stupid.
I don't think it's stupid.
I think it's utterly ridiculous. And for Terry Collins to try it, I mean,
but let's see, he's in over his head. That's
like, what are you doing? He doesn't even know how to do it right.
Right. That's my bigger concern. I don't think it's always stupid. I really don't.
So now what's he going to do? He's going to bat Travis d'Arnaud in front of the pitcher. That's good. That will help Travis d'Arnaud develop.
That'll really get his confidence up there.
Good job.
He should see a lot to hit.
Yeah, break. Oh, by the way, Travis d'Arnaud has not hit, and he has not fielded in spring training. That's all you hear.
Right.
Hasn't done anything.
Yeah. And he's got a hitch in his swing.
Yeah.
Good.
So,
well,
let's throw him out.
The season's 11 days away. We'll, of course, be there. There's a lot to look forward to with this Met team.
Tell me what there is to look forward
to. There's
nothing
to look forward to.
Okay.
I have ceased.
Hey, how about
being optimistic?
On opening day, when opening day, hope springs eternal. It's the first day of the season for everybody, and everybody's in first place, and, you know, the banners are out. The red, white, and blue is all
the
over
bunting.
The bunting is all over the park, and everybody's happy, and they introduce the players, and that's the one day of the year when there should be unanimous positivity and good feelings and joy, because it's sports. We say this all the time. It's sports. It's supposed to be fun. And there's no reason why opening day of the baseball season, especially the winter that we had, oy, with the snow and the cold.
Okay, Rabbi.
I'm a New Yorker, all right? I can say that. It's supposed to be. You're supposed to have good feelings. So what are they going to do? They're going to trot Ike Davis out at first base, who hasn't had a single at bat in spring training. Can't stay healthy.
He was 0-for-3 today. Played today.
Great. They're going to trot. We're going to call him Miguel Tejada. Ruben Tejada.
I would take Miguel Tejada right now.
At shortstop, who went 3-for-3, and his 3-for-3 today should end any speculation that the Mets are going to try to get a shortstop, because now
he's good. He's fixed.
He's good. So you're gonna introduce him. So that's two men
that are gonna
be booed out of their own stadium. And the most egregious of them all, in my mind at this point, is the opening day starting pitcher for the New York Mets is not the guy that everybody wants to see.
Wait. You don't want to see Dylan G?
No.
Are you sure?
It's not Bartolo Colon.
The guy who no one wants to see.
It's not Daisuke Matsuzaka.
Sure.
Jonathan Nease, who it's March 20th that we're doing this show.
Yes.
By May 20th, his season will be over. I absolutely guarantee that. Because whatever's going on with his arm...
Will his arm still be attached?
I think it'll be attached.
You don't see it flying off?
I don't see...
During a bullpen session?
I don't think he can use it. He'll be able to use it for anything. I think he'll have to lift it with his other arm...
Right.
...in order just to move it. Because it's a joke. He is just season-ending surgery waiting to happen. I say by May 20th, he's done.
I would take the under.
All right. But, so Zach Wheeler, who's pitching lights out in spring training.
5 1/3 today, Cal. 5 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts.
Okay, so that's not lights out. But
That's lights out.
That's not lights out. That's good, though.
He's got a he pitched into the sixth inning in his second last start of the spring. He's got a 1.69 ERA this
spring. No, but that's my point. His spring has been terrific.
Yeah.
And better than anybody else. Better than anybody else.
Yep.
Yet for I know the reason why his name doesn't even get brought up when considering the starting pitcher for opening day. And Terry Collins said it today. He's throwing Dylan G out there for a couple of reasons. Number one, because Jonathan Neese can't start.
Right. That's first choice.
His first choice is Jonathan Neese. And since he can't go, he's going to throw Dylan G out there. The other reason he's doing it is to reward him for his longevity with the team.
Yeah. Well, it's been a huge 3 years he's been here.
Has he been on the team 3 years, Steve?
I believe he has.
Okay. And one of those years, he had a blood clot in his arm.
Correct.
All right. That's another reason. There was a third reason, and I can't remember what it was.
It's unimportant.
It's not important. The fact of the matter is he's completely ignoring, like going out of his way to not say the word Zach and Wheeler in any sentence.
Looks down when he passes him the dugout.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Zach. Hey, what's up? Yeah, no, it's opening day. I don't know. We'll see. It's cool, man.
That's the guy. You've got 40,000 people come into the stadium. That's
maybe.
Well, maybe. You're right. That's who they want to see. They want to see Zach Wheeler. On top of – because Matt Harvey's not there. So now let's go down that rabbit hole for a second. All right?
Hold on. I just want to say one thing.
Okay.
You said quite eloquently and succinctly what opening day should be in baseball. You know what it should never feature? Booing the home team, ever.
Or the training staff.
Or the training staff.
That's sort of a tradition around here. They boo the trainers.
Opening day should never see the home team's fans booing the home team, ever.
Or anything associated with the home team.
That's
correct. You're right. On opening day. On opening day.
The season hasn't even been pissed away yet.
Budweiser wants to make opening day a national holiday.
Yes.
And Met fans, but that's a whole other story with Met fans that want to boo because they want to be negative.
Yeah.
And they're looking forward to doing that.
And I wouldn't do it, but can you get on somebody for booing Ruben Tejada?
No. You can't.
Right. So what were you going to say about Harvey?
What I was going to say about Harvey is if he was healthy, do you think he would be starting opening day?
Yes.
He'd have no choice. I don't think Terry Collins would make him his first choice. I think he would be forced into it.
You think every pitcher is healthy, Neese is his opening day starter?
I believe that's what he would want, and he would kind of like begrudgingly understand that I guess I can't. I guess I'm going to have to throw Matt Harvey out there.
I don't know. I think he would start Harvey.
But
it's a moot point.
We
won't have to worry about it till next year.
All right, but that's my. But the point is,
or is Harvey's concern till August?
The point is that the fans are hurting from the fact that Matt Harvey is not going to be pitching that game.
You're absolutely right.
They can't wait for Noah Syndergaard to be there to pitch that game. So they have the next best thing is they have Zach Wheeler on the rotation, pitching lights out in spring training. Ready to go.
He's very, very good.
He's the promise of the future that's all you hear about now because all we heard about was 2014, and now that it's 2014, you don't hear about 2014 anymore. Yet, here's the guy. He's the one guy that's here right now and is completely ignored.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it.
I don't know.
I don't understand it.
I mean, he's the guy who could also take a leap and sort of be an ace of that staff.
And he will, Steve, he will be. He will be. In very short order, he's going to be the ace of the staff. Within 6 weeks, he's going to be the ace of the staff.
He's going to be the only reason you watch every 5 days.
Until Syndergaard comes up.
Right.
Right. So that's
then you'll watch twice every 5 days.
Then I'll watch twice every 5 days because I'm not gonna sit down and watch an April weeknight game to see Daisuke Matsuzaka pitch. You couldn't pay me to watch a game like that right now. Couldn't pay me with Ruben Tejada at shortstop and Ike Davis at first base. Couldn't pay me.
Luke Duda? How about if Luke Duda is there?
I tell you, Luke Duda is a professional hitter.
He's
and whoa, he's a big boy.
11, he's going to hit some mistakes now. 11 days till opening day. Can't wait.
It's just and added to the reaction of everybody, of the media who fuel it, and the Met fans, the woe is me Met fans, and the fact that this team, this organization has put out garbage. Sandy Alderson did not predict 90 wins like everybody wants you to believe. He didn't come out and make a prediction or a proclamation or that they're going to win 90 games. He didn't say that.
Nope.
He said that that's something they should think about.
That should be the goal.
That should be the goal. Well, you know what? You put out crap on the field, Sandy Alderson. You built a crap team. All right? You can't win 90 games with this team. Steve, can you win 90 games with this team?
No.
Okay.
Not with an injured Harvey and not with Ruben Tejada at shortstop and Ike Davis at first base and no.
That's a fact. So if you're gonna set the expectation that that's something that the organization should think about, that should be the mindset right now, and this is how you're going about operating your team. Sandy Alderson, have you spoken to Scott Boras lately? No. You haven't spoken to Sandy Alderson has not spoken to Scott Boras, the agent for Stephen Drew, a free agent shortstop. That's just sitting there, doing nothing, 11 days before opening day.
Who immediately makes your team better. Sorry.
Immediately. And you're not going to have to take out another Bank of America loan on your team to sign him.
Yeah.
Yet he hasn't even spoken. Your general manager's job, I believe, I haven't read the job description lately, but I believe somewhere a bullet indicates that talking to agents of players is one of your jobs, I would think. Or if not, talking to the agents of your players, delegating that responsibility to one of your staff to talk to the agent of a player. It's got to be on that job description.
I would think.
Would you? Maybe we Google it, or we call Jay Horowitz up, and he'll give it to us.
Please, don't get me started with Jay Horowitz. Don't. Please don't. Please. I can't have my blood pressure go that high. I can't. Can't have it. I can't take him. And then to have Matt Harvey make me feel sorry for the guy, because he emasculates him in front of Andy Martino.
You made fun of... Wait, you feel sorry for Jay Horowitz?
I felt sorry for Jay Horowitz. Don't do that, Matt Harvey. Have a little respect for the old man. Will you please? You're sitting there, you're doing an interview that he didn't okay. Everybody knows they don't want you to do one-on-one interviews. You definitely don't want them to do them with Andy Martino. Of all people, Matt Harvey, please do not run to the guy who's a Philly fan, a Philadelphia Philly fan who hates the Met fan base and is on record as saying so. Please don't run to him for a story, to give him a story. Please don't. And then when Jay Horowitz comes over to you and says, "Will you knock it off?" Don't do that to him. Don't emasculate the kid.
Players Association.
Yeah, I'm going to call the Players Association, whatever. He has a right to write the story. Please, stop. Somebody tackle this kid. Seriously, Cal, somebody tackle this kid.
Enough.
I don't care about the Ranger games. That crap means nothing.
No, I agree with that. And it's all been nonsense, but it's all made me a little uncomfortable.
It didn't even make me uncomfortable. I thought the reaction to it, and that's fine if it did for you. I thought the reaction to it was stupid. Here's a 23-year-old kid who's very good. He's a phenom. If TMZ existed in 1984, they would have seen Doc Gooden doing the same thing. Okay? And worse.
Worse.
Yeah. Okay? But this, figure out what sort of relationship you want to have with your team. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Because you can't, you know, he wants to rehab with the team. He doesn't want to rehab in Port St. Lucie. That's fine. You bitch and moan all the time. We hear all the time about the Mets trashing players after they leave and doing things publicly and stuff. Well, it goes both ways. If you want to rehab with the team and not in Port St. Lucie, do it behind closed doors. Why are you talking to the media about it? You come off like a petulant child.
See, where's David Wright in all of this?
I think David Wright's trying. I think he can only put out so many fires at a time.
Is he?
I do. I mean, he had the long talk with Ike Davis that morning. You know, when the Mike Puma story broke and everybody said David Wright sat him down in the clubhouse before and Ike Davis walked away from him and did the interview anyway. I feel like David Wright's got his hands full.
Yeah, maybe.
He's trying to make sure Ruben Tejada's got his confidence. I mean, there's a lot going on in that room for the captain to take hold of, but Harvey is just acting a bit like a petulant child where they won't let me rehab with them in New York. I'm going to go to the media and take my case to them.
Or how about that? I didn't like where they put my locker when it came down to St. Lucie.
Just keep it in-house. If unless you don't think it's reciprocal. So you get, Justin Turner comes out and destroys the team now that he's with the Dodgers and says that they badmouth people. I don't know why they do it, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's so upset that they ran Ruben Tejada down. I mean, everybody's so upset by this, Cal.
Yeah.
Everybody's so upset that they overheard somebody say he doesn't look like he's in better shape to me. This was the big thing that they said. This was the big disastrous thing that was said about Ruben Tejada. Not that his swing is still garbage. Not that has no confidence in the field and boots easy plays. Or that he cost, Matt Harvey a perfect game last year. Not that. None of that. Nobody says any of that. Somebody says he went to a fat camp. He still looks fat. And this has destroyed Ruben Tejada's confidence. I mean...
Well, this and the fact that they were talking about going out and getting a shortstop for the last six months.
Oh, right.
Yeah, good job with that. How'd that go, getting your shortstop? How'd that go?
They were so concerned with doing it, they didn't do it.
Right, and first base. If you would have talked to Sandy Alderson in November.
We did. You heard from Sandy Alderson in November. He said he wanted a new first baseman, and then he didn't do it.
And a new shortstop. And look, in 11 days, look what we're going to get.
Looky what we have here.
And I've said this a million times, and I'm going to keep on saying it.
Make it a million and one.
They're symbols, Steve. They are symbols of
right.
the failures of the past 3 years. This was supposed to be the year to break from the past.
No, you're right. You're very right.
And they're throwing these exact same faces out there that have not – it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You don't have to be a baseball genius to know it doesn't work. It hasn't worked for 3 years. What makes you think that in year four, all of a sudden, it's going to work? Why do you think that? Because you're smarter than everybody?
What about Ruben Tejada's WRC+?
Not even going to dignify that. Not even going to dignify it. Why? Open. How about your eyes? Open your eyes. Use your eyes to watch the game instead of studying advanced metrics. Okay.
There, I said it.
Please. There's a place for it. This is not the place.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
I guess I'm not apathetic after all.
I guess you're stupid.
Thanks.
All right, let's do the fun load. Let's bring PJ back in here. You ready?
Yes.
Time for a fun load, baby.
Oh.
Time for a fun load, baby. Time for a fun load.
garbage. You think this would have helped? That fun sounds so sarcastic right now.
Fun. Whoop-de-doo.
If ever one of our episodes was in
that? That sounds better than ever.
I actually remixed it.
It does. It sounds good.
I didn't remix it. I wouldn't know how.
Oh.
Don't tell you.
You're playing with me.
Yeah. If ever an RTU episode needed fun... It's this one. Can you sing Find a Little Christmas? We Need a Little Christmas. Can we sing that? This episode, desperately in need of fun right now.
Oh.
Not the band fun.
Not the band.
We don't want them.
Oh, I love them.
You love fun?
I do.
You love hipsters, don't you?
You are a hipster wannabe, Peach. You really are.
Are they hipster?
Yeah, they are.
Cal almost couldn't get that out. He turned into Ted Knight.
What? Hip. They're on the Brooklyn crest, you know, like the like if there was a flag for the borough of Brooklyn.
Right.
The three of them on their Schwinn's.
Yeah, it's like a big mustache. Like, the flag is actually a mustache. It's like a big, big, like, handlebar mustache. And then it's the three people from Fun on Schwinn bikes. Non-ironic Schwinn bikes.
No, that's...
Like, they're not even riding them to be ironic.
No, they're trying to get to the cafe.
That's the legitimate way that they go to
the Starbucks.
No, not even Starbucks. No, Starbucks. How dare you?
Starbucks, it's true.
No. That's how they go to the Richardson, which is an old-timey bar on Richardson Street, where they serve they have professional bartenders who serve cocktails there. And the bartenders have their sleeves rolled up with the sleeve garters.
And they have mustaches, too.
Obviously. Also, the mustache flag is heavily tattooed.
Right.
And has a trust fund. So it's good. Hasn't worked a day. Has not worked a day.
Doesn't change my opinion. I like the album very much.
Still like the band.
Well, the music, I don't mind the music. I find their presence to be a little much.
Yeah. Peach, I would pay probably $7,000 to $8,000 to see you in skinny jeans. I'd pay somewhere in the ballpark of $7,000 to $8,000 to go out with you one night while you're wearing like Williamsburg hipster skinny jeans.
Like the tightest pair of jeans that I can
and the skinny legs.
Who are you going to pay this money to, PJ?
We'll do it for charity. The charity of your choice. I will pay $8,000 to go out with you one night in Williamsburg while you're wearing Williamsburg skinny leg hipster jeans.
I got quite accustomed to going to the bus stop in stockings for a while.
I'm sorry, what now?
Forgot that I was... Well, you remember that I got bitten by a spider.
He sat down beside you?
A couple of years ago, it did. And my legs swelled up something fierce. And they gave me these, like, therapeutic stockings.
Oh, that's right.
To ease the swelling. But it was warm out, so I would wear shorts and bright white stockings, and I wouldn't think anything of it. I just go out, people looking at me like, hey, yeah, look at me, legs, how you doing?
Now, if you lived in Williamsburg and you wore those out, everybody would be wearing them like next week.
Oh, see?
That would be the look.
My window.
You'd be the trendsetter.
This guy's onto something.
Look at, hey, did you see the, I got myself a pair of the white stockings. They're awesome.
So how high above the knee did they go? put on skinny jeans. How they went, they would go all the way up to the thigh.
Oh, they went up the thigh.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Mm. Not really.
Eek. No, the only the bottom of the leg is skinny. It's tapered.
Right.
And in fact, the ass on these pants looks like you have no ass.
Right. It's just flat.
Right. So the
down.
So the rear end bottom. Really. That's right. The rear end sits really low. You get, you know, sort of plumber's crack with these sort of things. They sit really low. They're like around your hips. Again, you would not, you could not be hotter in these, Peach.
And then the ladies' pants that are accidentally put on a man.
That's what they. That's kind of what they're like.
There you go. Next thing you know, old Jed's in Williamsburg.
Except it's not an accident.
No. There's nothing quite. Good. There's nothing quite like seeing somebody who spent $200 to $300 on a haircut to make it look like they just got out of bed. I know I sound like an old man. It just this was going on when I was in my 20s and lived there, and it still cracked me up. I'm just not.
So much worse now.
Not
though,
me.
Right?
Oh, it's please. Like the Costanzas out of Bayside, they ran us out of Williamsburg. I had lived in that neighborhood for years, and eventually, you know, I only have 4 tattoos. I wear a baseball hat like a baseball hat. It's supposed to be worn. You know, like I played.
With the logo of a team on it.
With the logo of a team, that's correct. And a local team. The logo of an actual team here in New York. Not the Portland Trailblazers hat that with no bent brim.
Or like a Canadian business.
Yeah. Or a Canadian DJ. Like, I didn't even know they had DJs in Canada. They do. They have all sorts of stuff. Okay, I have a proposal. They do. And then, do you have any fun load? Hey, Vinny, come and get your jacket. Do you have any of those Jay Mafali ones left?
I don't.
I was asking PJ.
I know. No, it got very silent.
Oh, the Jay Mafali. I thought you wanted to talk about True Detective, and we never got to.
I do want to do that as well.
You said you had an idea, though.
I did have an idea.
I read the page.
And good. Look at you.
You had, well.
Do putting in the work, putting in the hours. I love it.
It's in my contract now.
I understand. Right, it's right next to the cliche provision, which we destroyed last week. Which we completely crapped on last week.
And after identifying yourself as part of the team. That's also in there.
So my idea was it was given to me by a mutual friend of ours, the bishop, a guy named Tom. He's got red hair. He's got red hair and he plays bass.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah. Tommy Balls. Mm-hmm. Apparently Tom has been listening to many of our shows. He's been traveling a lot and he's listened to about... He said 20 to 25 back episodes over the last few months.
Nice.
Yeah, wow. He's been checking it out. It's just a shade under 5 years. I love it. And he had some great ideas. He had some excellent ideas for us. But he had this excellent, what I thought was a great idea. Take an old sports story like the George Brett bat Pine Tar incident and discuss it as if it happened yesterday. So in other words, take a sports event and put it into modern time with like social media and Twitter. And I'm still fleshing out this idea, but it was interesting to me. So it could be something fun to do.
Okay.
You know, Not for like a whole show. Just do like.
I'm thinking about how that would work.
Yeah. Like, could you imagine what Twitter would have looked like after George Brett and the Pine Tar game?
Well, the first thing you know is there would have been 100 different GIFs of his face.
Right.
As he was running out of the.
Yeah, and then and all the memes and stuff like that.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
But also his idea was to talk about the actual event. Like, was Billy Martin right to do that? Like, was George Brett in the right? How are they going to solve it? You know, what? So I thought that was pretty cool.
And that's actually a very good one to do.
Yeah. You could do a bunch of those. So that was my proposal. I would like to maybe investigate doing some of those.
Well, I'm on board with that.
Great.
I think you should form a small exploratory committee. Bring up a short list of possible events.
Second.
Flesh it out.
I second that. Cal, will you third it?
I thought I firsted it.
You did first it.
He right on it.
Can you first something?
I don't know.
I think the guy who says it is automatically firsting.
Well, does that mean it's Tom or is it you? Because you're the first person to say it on the show.
I might be seconding, even though I'm firsting.
So PJ has
I think we
it.
Find a way to name the segment in some way after Tom, somehow.
I totally agree with that.
Call it like a history of great balls or something like that.
Second. Why can't we bring back the whole seconding thing?
Like in a meeting? In a business meeting?
It's not done at all anymore. It should be, I want to bring it back.
Oh, I disagree.
I second it.
Thank you.
I've heard it done.
You've heard it? Where are you hanging out? Are you at a Continental Congress?
You see my wigs.
I didn't know they were functional, though.
I've heard things just seconded, cosmetic. Sure.
Second. I just want it to be that integrated into the conversation, though.
Well, you have to take the people that started saying cosine to then say second.
I got to tackle the cosine lobby?
Yeah, because they're the ones that have ruined it.
Cosine.
Right?
I don't like cosine.
No, of course not. Nobody likes it, but that's a big one.
No, nobody likes it. No, of course not. Nobody likes it.
I think Phil Jackson signing with the Knicks was the greatest idea they've ever had.
Second.
Cosine.
Yeah, second. See, how much better is second?
So much better.
So much better. You're making a proposal. It needs to be seconded.
It's an uphill battle.
By the way, I do not second that. I think it's a terrible move. That's okay.
Yeah, I know. We'll talk about it. We got plenty of time to talk about that.
Yeah, Phil Jay, it's
Conspiracy Steve was in full effect this week.
No, there's no conspiracy there. I think it's James Dolan saying, don't look at this pile of burning crap over here. Look at this pile of burning, you know, look at this shiny thing over here.
Yeah.
Look away from the car wreck that is the Knicks season. And look over here at this guy who I'm paying a gazillion dollars to, who's never built a team and has no history of doing this and is taking $12 million a year to live in Los Angeles and telecommute as president of the team. And but he's got a lot of cachet and he's got 12 rings and he'll help bring in free agents. Oh, and by the way, if we lose Carmelo Anthony, it'll be his fault. Thanks, everybody. Good night. Jimmy Dolan. Here's a copy of my album. Anyway. Peach, do you have a... True Detective. I'm only on episode 2.
We just watched episode two.
Teresa was away, and I'm doing the show, watching the show with Teresa. So we just watched episode 2.
I can't watch that with my wife. I can't watch that. How do you
do
that?
What? We're adults.
It's too dark. It's too dark. Can't do it.
Really?
It's too unsettling.
Like in the room?
So you can't be in the room with like she has to watch it at a different time.
Yeah, there's something about it. I can't. No, can't.
Will you talk about it with her though, after the fact?
Certainly.
Okay.
Can you give me other shows where this is the
case? I'm fascinated by this.
I am completely can open worms everywhere. Completely fascinated by this.
There are shows, yes. Well, this is probably all on me. There are shows that I can't watch with company. Like, I have to watch it alone. And then I can rewatch it with somebody else.
Have to watch it alone.
Game of Thrones is one of those.
Can't watch it with somebody in the room.
No, no. I don't know. I get nervous and upset.
I love this.
I have a very fragile psyche.
Is this, yes, we know. Is this only TV shows, or would this apply to movies as well?
Oh, definitely apply to movies, definitely.
Give me a movie that you can't watch with somebody.
A movie that I couldn't, Dead Man Walking.
Wow.
Got me so upset. I was very glad that I was alone, and I realized I couldn't have watched it with somebody.
Is that what it is, though, that a movie or a show evokes such a reaction in you that you don't want another person to see the reaction?
I don't know.
Or is it that you won't have the reaction because you'll be self-conscious with the person there?
That I may not be as immersed in it as I get, because there are some shows that I just go right into. Like, I'm slack-jawed and staring at the screen.
I'm going to take a guess. I'm going to take a stab here and say Deadwood was like that.
Yeah?
Deadwood was we'll call them PJ Loners.
I watched Deadwood
Bishop
alone
Loner.
With the closed captioning on and a dictionary, because sometimes they would actually use words that I did not understand.
Wow. You are a lot of work, man.
With an actual, like a physical dictionary or an electronic dictionary that you could search, like type it in?
At the time, it was the big red Merriam-Webster dictionary on the couch with me.
Wow.
All right, we have to probe deeper here. Can you eat when you're watching these programs?
I try not to.
You're too into it.
Distracting. Yeah, I find it distracting to be eating.
And you will, this is magnificent. And you will talk to somebody about it afterward. So like you'll watch the episode of True Detective by yourself,
really
into it, maybe making notes. Who knows?
Yes, and I've done that.
And then
I knew you have.
And then Tina watches it a day later. You can talk about it for sure.
If she's watching it, I'll like stand in the kitchen off to the side and wait till it's done. And then the second it's done, I run into the room.
Well, that's not creepy at all. So that's good.
And I'll run into the room and say, wasn't it awesome? And then we have to talk about it immediately.
How much does Tina hate that? Scale of 1 to 10.
I don't have much feedback on that. I don't know. We're going to have to put her on the phone. I don't
really
know.
And so the talking about you want after the fact, but you need to ingest it, the actual ingestion needs to be solo.
Yes, a lot of the time.
And
not so much with comedies, but with dramas, horror movies.
Well, yeah. Psychological
thrillers.
You would need a certain amount of time to kind of let it all sink in, too, right? Like, so if you're watching a show from 10 to 11, you're not ready to talk to anybody at 11:05, right? About
any show like True Detective? No, because once the show is over, then I hop on the internet and start doing some research.
Right.
Well, that's the new way to watch these shows. I mean, we were talking about this with Mad Men last week, Cal.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the more enjoyable things about that show is reading Alan Sipinwall's review of the episode like an hour later.
Right.
And then seeing all the comments and seeing how he breaks it down, and then seeing how the Onion AV Club breaks it down. And
mm-hmm.
I just did this with Inside Llewyn Davis, where the movie stayed with me so much that like 2 days later, I was still reading articles and in, you know, sort of community boards or whatever. Community boards? What? But just looking at blogs.
Were you going to supermarkets and looking at, like, people would write it down on a little piece of...
Inside Lou and Davis Chat Club, Tuesdays, 9:30 p.m. at Puss in Boots Cafe.
It's your own kind of support group. It's fine.
Right. No, but I really got into that aspect. I would say the magnificent thing here is, I'm going to stop using magnificent, but I would say the really funny thing here to me is, I am the exact opposite of that.
Where you need to interact with someone during?
I do not like watching stuff by myself.
Really?
Oh.
The only thing I like watching by myself, usually,
sports,
is sports. And that's, I'm talking about the wife.
Right.
And even that, like if she sits down and watches a half of football with me, I'm ecstatic.
That's great.
So that's not even true. Like, I like watching. There's not much I like to watch by myself. There's not much I like to do by myself. I mean, while we're at it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it kind of worked out that way, though.
Yes.
You know, when you're living such busy lives, it's very difficult to find the time, especially in the advent of the DVR and the on-demand.
Yep.
I can tell you, and I'm being as honest as possible, I can't remember the last thing I sat down and watched with my wife at the same time. Cannot remember it.
Yeah, you guys that's just not the operation there.
No, no. And we could be watch oftentimes, and I think we've talked about this.
Yeah.
We're watching the same exact thing, and I might have started it 5 minutes before her. And I'm in one room watching it, and she's 5 minutes behind me in another room watching it.
Yeah.
Two separate devices.
I don't think we talked about this on the show. I think we talked about this when we were at the dinner that night.
Maybe.
Is there a genre of anything, Cal, that you have to watch by yourself?
That I have to watch by myself?
That you wouldn't even consider, you know, having the wife in the room.
No, I mean... I would love to watch things with her.
Maybe we should show her this. Maybe we should play the show for her.
It just doesn't work out.
I like that. I like getting, like, when Teresa gets into a show with me. Like Mad Men. Like she got into Mad Men first and was like, you got to watch this show. She has no problem watching anything without me. No problem at all.
Yeah.
No problem whatsoever. I think my company... It's completely, she's nonplussed either way. In fact, oftentimes I'm annoying. I have no doubt.
You talk during the program?
No.
You would talk her?
Look, I'm not like my grandmother talking to a soap opera. But I am reactionary. If I see something, I'm not, you know, like screaming at the screen. But if I see something that's of interest to me, I will comment on it to her. Often to her chagrin.
Hmm.
So like if something will happen in Mad Men, I'll be like, oh, I can't believe, what do you think's going to, do you think Peggy's going to do that? I'm not huge that way. Or like, I bet you Don does this. And just right. like a little comment. Because I know better. If it's any more than that, I will be told to shut up. If it's any more than a little nugget, I will be told to shut up. I also laugh at weird things.
That are not
things that aren't
funny.
Necessarily comedy.
I don't know. Like watching True Detective the other night, watching that second episode, which was really, really good. Again, really, really good. Cal, you gotta. I gotta. We gotta get you HBO Plus. We gotta do it. It's 8 episodes. You gotta get on board here.
I'll find a way.
Yeah, we gotta find a way to make this happen.
Yeah.
But there are Woody Harrelson moments in it. No spoilers here or anything. There are just moments Woody Harrelson will say something, and it's just he says it in such a Woody Harrelson way that it's funny to me.
Yeah, sure.
So maybe it's not intended to be funny, or it's he does something that, you know, it's not slapstick by any means.
It's a pretty serious show.
Yeah, but he's a little hapless sometimes.
He's a little either hapless or he'll do something or say something to McConaughey, his character, McConaughey's character or whatever. That's funny. Maybe it's not intended to be, but I find it amusing. So I'll laugh and Therese will be like, did that require an audible laugh? You couldn't just smile there? Like you had to laugh out. That was LOL, really? PJ, I love this. All these years I've known you, this does not even remotely surprise me.
I went to see Seven alone in the movie theater because I knew just from the previews that I couldn't have anybody sitting next to me while I watched that one.
I think I've been to one movie alone in my life.
Seriously?
Yep.
What movie?
I don't even remember. I don't remember what it was. It was in L.A. It was when I lived in L.A. And I don't even remember the movie.
I've been to one movie alone also. And I can tell you it was Mimic.
Oh, that movie's fun.
The Mimic?
No, not The Mimic. Mimic.
Mimic. The Mimic. The big cockroaches in the subway.
With the, yeah. Yes. Yep.
The Mimic was a Saturday Night Live sketch with Alec Baldwin. The Mimic. Why do you keep saying everything you say? Why do you keep saying everything I'm saying? You went to see Mimic in the theater by yourself.
I did one time ever in my life, and I there was nothing special about it. It's not like there's a story behind it. It was just I think it came out when I was in college, and I was it was an afternoon between classes. I said, "Oh, I'm gonna go see Mimic. I'm interested in that." My wife, my girlfriend at the time, who then subsequently became my wife, same person.
Same one.
I had no interest in going to see it.
No.
So I said, I'm going to go see it.
Wow.
Yeah.
You went all in on Mimic.
Yeah, that's the one.
I can't even remember the movie I went to see. I know I went. Can't remember what it was.
I think horror movies are great group experiences, and they're also great solo experiences.
There's no chance. First of all, I don't watch horror movies to begin with because I don't like being scared.
I know. I wish I could get you into those.
There's no chance.
So many quality ones. So many quality ones.
And second, the thought of watching one alone, I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
I need to sleep every once in a while.
I know. That. Well, see?
No way.
Fun part.
No. No negatory, good buddy. Negatory.
Absolutely. You watch a good horror movie, and then you walk down the hallway into the bathroom, and coincidentally the light bulb blows out, and you lose your mind.
And pants crap.
I don't see how that's fun.
Yeah, I don't get the enjoyment in that. I never have.
I know a lot of people do. I don't get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or at least I can't experience that. I can't. That experience doesn't work for me. My imagination is too sort of unruly and too difficult to control to watch movies like that. Like, I can't put those images in my head because I can't get rid of them.
Right.
And they will be augmented many, many, many times over by my own imagination.
It's like people want to – they seek to feel that emotion.
Yeah.
They want to, and that's just that is an emotion I have no desire to ever feel.
I ain't programmed that way.
Low debt.
Hey, Peach, last thing on this, and then we gotta finish up. Give me the ultimate. Is Game of Thrones the ultimate you have to watch alone, or is it something like Twin Peaks?
Oh,
what in your history has been the ultimate had to watch alone?
I think you just it's David Lynch movies.
Okay.
I cannot bear to be with other people when I'm watching a David Lynch movie because other people are giddy about them and they talk through it and it makes me nuts.
Okay.
Whereas, like, I sit and study them and revere them. I need to be alone. And then I'll talk to you about it later. But, you know, we could talk all night. But when the movie's on, I need to be alone.
What's the most of the Lynch movies that's true for?
The most, like, intense where I really need to be alone?
Yeah, the one that took you, like, was like a week in solitary.
Oh, Inland Empire.
Wow.
That's the 3-hour one with Laura Dern.
Well, aren't they all the ones with Laura Dern?
He's fond of Laura Dern.
Yes. Well, who isn't?
You'll see her a few times.
Yeah. She's a force of nature, that one. PJ, final unload, please. Bishop.
Well, I've been talking about it before, and I'll mention it again. I'm rewatching seasons 1 through 3 of Game of Thrones. And Game of Thrones does start on April 6th, and it's kind of all I can think about. So that's what I need to talk about, Game of Thrones. That is all.
Okay, I'll find it on this.
I'll say it. Welcome to New York, Phil Jackson. Welcome back to New York, Phil Jackson. It's interesting. He's got credibility. He's never built a team before. You're right. But I'm curious to see where this goes. And you know what? It made me put the Knick game on last night. First time all year. So, nice. Welcome back.
And my final unload is, I went to the Barclays Center last night, boys, for the first time. A buddy of mine got tickets to a Nets game late, and so I went to check it out. Obviously scouting it for the Islanders in 2015-16. It is glorious. They have a barber shop in there where they're doing, like, fades and, you know, flat tops and stuff like that. I hope they keep it and they do mullets for the Islander games. It'd be awesome. All right. We'll be back next week. Ready to Unload with Cal and Stampede. Go to iTunes. Subscribe to the podcast. RTUSports.com. And also we're on Stitcher, so please check that out. And, of course, the No Fuss and Feathers Roadshow live coming to Connecticut and New Jersey near you. Good night, boys. Game of Thrones.
Speed, you want to watch a movie? No.
Not with you. Lodette.